Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats, and grant to your servant to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and sign, and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed in the place in which they were gathered together, it was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Stephen. All right, I have to shut this door back here that's open. I don't know if the rest of you can see it. But it was making me crazy. That's just a little insight into who I am. Before we start with prayer together, I want to tell you two opportunities that you have this morning as we gather together as the people of God. If you're here in person, we have popsicles for Pride. It's the beginning of Pride Month, and that will happen out in the portico right out here. And if you go out to do that, you can get one of these fancy pins that is One Church for All. And those will be there after the service. You can spend time with one another, or you can do all these things. Go to the left, and we are putting together kits for conference, and they're kits, they're little small kits with washcloths and combs and things that are given to people who have been affected by a natural disaster. So I hope you will take some time to make that. There's an assembly line to do that, popsicles out there, and then, you know, just get to know one another. So that is coming up, and I wanted you to know that. Now would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Oh, holy and gracious God, you are so good. Already we feel you here. Already we come anticipating how you will move in us. Already these good people, we've all gathered together, whether we're at home or traveling or in a hospital online or here in person, we are here because we want to hear from you. We are here because we love you. We want to know more, so pour out your Spirit on us, I pray. Pour out your Spirit on the words that I have prepared and make them yours, because it is only through you that we learn and grow and have our being in you. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So the scripture you heard Stephen read today, I want to go back a chapter because it's important to where this all starts. And it starts at the steps of a Jewish temple. It starts with a man who's probably 40 years old, and he's laying on the ground because he can't walk. We don't know why he can't walk, but he's been laying there as long as anybody around them can remember, and he begs from people as they go to church, basically. And so he's lying there, and remember that it's in front of a Jewish place of worship. And Peter and John are these two amazing disciples. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're walking to the temple to pray, and they walk by, and this man asks, reach out to them. And Peter and John, they don't give him any money. They don't do what he asks. Instead, they heal him. They make it so he can walk. Now remember, they're doing this in front of the Jewish temple. Everybody's there. All God's children are there. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the stewards and the people that help take care of the temple. It's the women and the children and the beggars. Everybody is there, and they're watching what Peter and John do, and they heal him. But they do it, they take it one step further, which is what drives the Jewish leaders crazy. They do it in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't do it in the name of God. They don't do it in the name of something else. They say it is only through the power of Jesus Christ that this man is healed. Remember where they are? In front of the Jewish temple. That did not go over well with the Jewish leaders. How is it that Peter and John could do this? How is it that Peter and John could come across this man and heal him and proclaim Jesus' name? You know what that's called? Boldness. That's called boldness. I want you to say the word boldness. 1, 2, 3.
Boldness.
Oh, you guys are good. It took the 9 o'clock. We're going to do it again, though. They needed encouragement. But I want you to say it boldly. You on line two. 1, 2, 3. Boldness. Boldness is not a hideaway kind of a thing. Boldness means you have courage. It means you are willing to stand up and do things. It is not to be mistaken with blustering. You know what blustering is? Blustering is, you know who was blustering? And this also shows that I've been around a while. Yosemite Sam. Cartoon character. He was like, well, I'm going to do all these things. And he didn't do anything. A blustering person makes threats. A blustering person makes promises that they never follow through on. They're blustering. You don't pay attention to someone who's blustering. But someone who's bold, someone who speaks with boldness, with courage, you pay attention to that. And that's what worried the Jewish leaders, because they acted with boldness and they spoke the name of Jesus. Let's look at the scripture. Now when they, these are the Jewish leaders, now when they, read this with me, saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as
companions of Jesus.
That means they knew them. That means they'd spoken the name of Jesus before. Hold on to that, companions of Jesus. That's very important. And let's go to the next text. We're in the Bible a lot today. We always are on Sunday, but we're especially going to follow the scripture today. So they, meaning the chief priests, called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all.
In the name of Jesus.
But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you and rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking what we have seen and heard. They cannot. They cannot keep from speaking it. Like, you all, Pharisees and Sadducees, you can judge how you want to, but we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. What had they seen and heard? They had seen and heard Jesus Christ been raised from the dead. They had seen Jesus die on a cross, be put in a tomb, and then rise again through the power of Jesus. They couldn't be quiet about that. The experience they had with the resurrection of Jesus Christ transformed them. They became different people. They became bold. Jesus had the power over sin and death is the whole reason they had a dynamic faith. Not because they learned a fancy prayer technique, not because they bluster their way through faith. They embraced the power of Christ's resurrection. They couldn't help but speak and act boldly because they knew Jesus. I admire them. I admire them so much. They are living in a world of confusion and chaos, and yet they act with boldness. Their world was kind of a mess. Do you ever feel like you're living in a world of confusion and chaos? People laughed at the last service too. I feel like I'm living in a world of confusion and chaos, often. I feel like, do you ever do this? Sometimes when I get up in the morning and I put my feet on the floor, it's like, oh, the world is tilting a little bit. It's off balance. Or I walk out of the house and I open the door and I'm like, wait a minute, the world seems to be off. It's confusion and chaos. It's like one of those fun houses. They call them fun houses, but let me be clear, I don't like them. But I was in one. It was a long, long time ago. My friends were going to the fun house. And you know in fun houses, the floors tilt sometimes, and they try to disorient you and make it hard for you, like they think it's fun. They make it hard for you to go through, and they'll jump out at you, and they'll scare you. And I was in this fun house with my friends. I will tell you that it ended with a bloody nose and me going out the back door. I'll tell you the rest of that another time. But before I got to that part, we're in a room. And it's dark, and the only light I could see was about where the choir is, was a doorway. And I had to get from where I was to the doorway, and there was nothing. There was nobody around. There was nothing to hold on to. And again, people had been jumping at me from the corners, so I was like, I don't want to go to the corners. My friends had already made it through the door and were well on their merry way. I would speak to them later about that. And then nobody was behind me yet. And I'm standing in the dark, and the world is tilted, and every step that I took, I felt like I was going to fall. So you stumble along. I was afraid I'm going to trip. I was afraid something was going to jump out at me. And I thought, I'm just going to sit on the floor and wait for someone to come rescue me. But I was in a scary room, so I didn't want to stay there. So I get down on my hands and knees, and I crawl my way to the door. And I'm out. Confusion and chaos. The world is tilting. It is a world that we live in right now. It's a world that I live in right now. And I am someone who sees the tilting and the chaos, and I imagine that you are too. And it's so interesting. I am someone who loves this wonderful calling to be a pastor. But I see the world tilting in that. I have this wonderful calling to be a human being in the world. But I see the tilting in the world. And it disorients me. I was at Giant the other day. And there in the parking lot, very busy parking lot, is a man and a little girl. And they're holding a sign that says, "We're hungry. Can you help us?" And the world tilted. I received a text late, a couple nights ago, and it said, "Our son is in the ICU, and we're terribly worried about him." And the world tilted. I had a conversation with a friend. We were having coffee, and she said, "I don't think our marriage is going to survive." And the world tilted. And I am so tempted to shrink down and to hide in a corner and to not do the things that I want to do. I'm tempted to shrink away. Do you ever do this? That when you see all the tilting and the stuff that's going on in the world and you think it's like a storm is coming, and you go out and you buy toilet paper and you buy milk and all the things, whatever it is that you buy, and you charge your phone, and you go, and you shut your windows and your doors, and you just hunker down by yourself because you can't face what's out there. I do that sometimes. I wish I didn't do it, but I do it sometimes. But sometimes, you know what I do when I'm at my best? When I'm at my best, I stop. I recognize what's going on, and I take a deep breath. And I pray for boldness. I don't pray for happiness. I don't pray for peace. I don't pray for a miracle. Not at that time. Maybe a different time. But right then, I pray for boldness. That's what Peter and John in this passage teach us to do. They invite us to pray for boldness. Actually, what they do is they help us, they give us three ways to move forward. Let's follow it through with them. Look at what they did when they were released from prison. After they, Peter and John, were released, what did they do? They went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. They went to their own people. Friends, when we're in a time of confusion and chaos, when you feel like the world is tilting dangerously, find your people. Gather together. Hold on to one another. Don't be alone. Be together. I want you to take a moment and look around. Turn your head and look around. If you're online, look around. Wave to the people online if you're here in the sanctuary. These are your people. We have people. You might not know them. You might come and sit with them, and you're always sitting there, and it's like, I never talked to that person. Talk to them. These are your people. We gather together because we were made to be in community. I was reading the Washington Post last week, and there's an article by a woman named Marta Zaraska, which I can tell you what the article was later if you're interested. She's talking about the benefits of being together in person. She says, being in person together for more than 45 minutes, you will be more than 45 minutes here, not on social media, brought about better physical and mental health. And I would add better spiritual health. Being physically with other people brings about better physical and mental health. I will add spiritual health. The data shows the truth. We need to come together. Now listen, I don't want to offend anybody. I want you to hear me. I love online worship. I am so grateful that we get to do that. I am so grateful that we can come together in this way. This is what got me through the pandemic. This is how I connect with my friends that live in other states or countries. I still get to see them. I love it. And when you can come physically together, you gain benefits and you build one another up in ways that you can't do when you're texting on the phone. All of that is good. Do you hear me say that? And yet, coming together, they went to their own people. We can do this we can do it in worship, we can do it in small groups, we can do it at our home or by the pool or by the fire pit or on a hike. You can be gathered in so many places, but gathering together and sharing our lives is how we are created to be. I encourage and challenge everyone who can to find the time to come together in person. I invite you all to come to worship if you can. Not everybody can. There are some health issues. There's some travel distance. Here's what I'll tell you. On Thursday, I went to Joe Apple's funeral. Joe Apple used to sit right about in the middle on this side, right where Colin is sitting. He used to sit right there. He came every week. He's been a part of our church for years and years and years, and he passed away. And so we had a beautiful service for him on Thursday, and I went to the fellowship hall where we have the reception. And I talked to at least three people who said to me, oh my gosh, it's so good to be here in person. It's so nice to see other people. I said, it is. You should do it more often. I said, why don't you? I'm just so interested. I'm so glad you can come online, but why don't you show up? And they said, we really like the convenience. I get that. We like to wear our pajamas. You can wear your pajamas here. Like, we will not kick you out for pajamas. And we like to have our coffee. We have coffee. Like, we've got it all, folks. Worshiping online at home is wonderful, but if you can come and be with other people, it's going to be good for you. It's going to help us be together. That's what Peter and John did. They went to their own people, and after they did that, after they spent all of this time together, they did the next thing. Look at what the disciples did. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God. They raised their voices together to God. That means they prayed. You know how we just did the Lord's Prayer and we all said it together and we said it out loud? I want you to imagine, I hope you said it out loud at home too. I want you to imagine all around the world today, millions of people are praying the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that is prayed in many, many services. All of those voices are lifting up together to God. It is something we do as community. It's something we hold in common. And that's what the disciples were, all those that were gathered together. They raised their voices together to God. I was in the last building. Our last building before we moved into this space was down Centerville Road on the right, past the school, past the firehouse and the school. And it was a lovely building. And we were selling it, and the Korean United Methodist Church wanted to buy it. But they didn't have enough money. And one day I show up at work and I walk in the door and I hear this very loud noise coming from the sanctuary. Well, they had brought their entire congregation and they were in the sanctuary and they were all praying out loud, all saying different things at the same time. It was like this beautiful cacophony of sound, and they're praying and they're praying and they're praying. And I said, "What are they doing?" And someone turned to me and said, "They're buying the building." And they did. They got together with this bold prayer. They knew they didn't have what they needed yet, but they trusted that as they lifted their voices together to God, God would show them a way. I have traveled to Cuba with Aldo Gonzalez here a couple of times, and can I tell you, in Cuba, they pray with such boldness. Every time you get together with Christians in Cuba, there is a prayer for boldness, and it is loud, and it is a lot of people. And things happen. It's pretty amazing. They get together, they raise their voices together to God. We are called to do that. We are called to gather together as the community so that we can be with one another. We are called to practice boldness by coming together and by raising our voices together to God. And then we're called to do one more thing. Peter and John, so bold. They've been told by the ruling, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, be silent. Don't talk about Jesus Christ. Don't say that name out loud. We don't want you to be that. It is hard to be bold when you feel vulnerable or threatened. And so together, as they're praying out loud, they say, "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and the signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." They are being bold in their prayer. That is what we call a dynamic faith. Dynamic faith is not a prayer for God to make us into miracle workers, but a prayer to help us have a bold belief that Jesus can do anything Jesus wants to do. We are called to go to the things that Jesus calls us to. Sometimes it's a small calling. Sometimes it's, hey, put on an orange vest and go stand in the parking lot and greet people. That's bold. Sometimes it's drive the bus for the church. That's bold. Sometimes it's, hey, I want you to go on this mission trip to Sierra Leone. That's bold. Sometimes it's, I want you to have a hard conversation with a friend. That is bold. It is what dynamic faith is made of. Dynamic faith includes jumping into the fray as Peter and John did. It means gathering with your people. It means praying. But here's another thing that it means. It means trusting the Holy Spirit to tell you the next step. And sometimes that's pulling back. Sometimes we get so fixed on doing the next thing. And God is saying, take a breath. Your bold prayer now is just to step back a little bit. I talked to a mom who had been arguing with her daughter for a few years. The daughter's in the 20s, so it's been a long argument. And she was arguing, she'd say, do this, don't do this, and it was all out of love and anxiety for what was next for her daughter. And finally, one day, she heard the Holy Spirit say, it's time to back off. And she said to her daughter, she said, "Okay, I'm going to trust you to take the next faithful step without me. Take the job in New York that doesn't pay enough. Live with the 8 other people in the tiny apartment." She let her go. And 3 years later, the daughter is a college graduate, working full-time in a profession that she loves. It takes a Holy Spirit-granted boldness to step back and be quiet as much as to step up and speak out. But none of that works. None of that works if we're not paying attention to God. None of that works if we don't place ourselves at the foot of this empty cross and remind ourselves that it is Jesus Christ who gives us the power to do these things. It is Jesus Christ who works through us and in us. We have to listen and pay attention to that. So 3 things. The first one is find your people. The second one is raise your voice to God. The third one is pay attention. Pay attention to when God is speaking to you. I'm going to share just a little story about, I'm going to just tell you about this. Last winter, it was really cold last winter, and I was in bed, sound asleep, and I heard this noise. One more time. 5 chirps. 5 chirps I heard. I'm sound asleep. It's 2 in the morning. It's really cold. But here's what I know. Our smoke detectors, I assumed it was a smoke detector, they're all connected to one another. So when they go, every smoke detector in the house goes off, and it is this loud, hair-raising cacophony of music and chirping that drives me crazy. It is so very loud. And to shut it off, you have to get close to them and, you know, do this. So I did. I was very proud of myself. I got up, I put my earplugs in, which I keep by my bed. I went to the other room. I got out the stepladder from under the guest room bed. I went back into the bedroom, and I set up the ladder, and I climb up, and I stand with my earplugs in, and I'm like, I think it's this smoke detector. And I wait, and once again I hear, it wasn't that one. It wasn't that one, so I'm like, I climb down, I take my whole production, I take it into the hallway, I set it up by the smoke detector in the hallway, and I climb up on the steps, and I hear it once again. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, where is this? And then I realize it's not the smoke detector, it's the carbon monoxide detector. So I get off the ladder, I put the ladder away, I go back to the carbon monoxide detector. I'm really cold at this point in time. So I'm like, it's just little chirps, it's probably not that bad. So I pull the plug out of the wall and I climb into bed with my computer so I can look up the company and find out, what does 5 chirps mean? So I go online, and here is what I learn. Maybe you knew this, I did not. 1 chirp means a low battery. 3 chirps means a malfunction. 4 chirps mean danger. And 5 chirps, which is what I was experiencing, means EOL. You know what EOL stands for? End of life. It's 2 in the morning, people, and I jump up out of bed and I think, I'm about to die. I have to get out of the house. And I start, and then, thankfully, I took a breath, and I went, oh, wait. I feel like if I was about to die, it would have been really loud, and they would have told me this. It was just trying to get my attention. It wasn't trying to make me do something crazy. It wasn't giving me a deep message. It was just trying to get my attention. How many times do I pay no attention to God? How many times do I follow what I want to do? How many times do I feel this little tapping on my shoulder? And I'm like, I don't hear that. I'm just going to go along and do the thing that I want to do. And I look all over the place for the thing that God wants me to do, but I'm not paying attention to God's voice. And I go off in crazy directions and do things that I aren't terrible, but aren't what God wants me to do. So pay attention to the way that God is speaking to you. God will speak to you through words. God will speak to you through a message that you hear preached. God will speak to you through the person sitting next to you. God will speak to you when you're in a traffic light. God will speak to you anywhere you are. But first, find your people. Talk about it. Then raise your voices together to God. Pay attention, and who knows what will happen? God will call you to be bold. That is what God does in our lives. God doesn't wait around for us to like, oh, maybe I'll do that. God wants us to be bold because when you look out these doors, the world is tilting. And we are people that can help right it, not through our power, but through the power of Jesus Christ. Here's something I realized this week as I was preparing for the sermon. I came across this passage that you know, I'm certain. I want you to pay really attention to this. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been
given to me."
Who's it been given to? It's given to Jesus. It's not given to us. We don't get all the power and authority. We get Jesus, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, acts through us. We don't have to solve it all. We don't have to know it all. Jesus is the one that has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The key to boldness that we are invited to live into is not that we have power. It's that Jesus Christ will work through us. Boldness is getting out of the way. Boldness is trusting God. Boldness is stepping into a world that feels full of chaos and is off-center, trusting in the power of the resurrected Jesus. Friends, in just a minute, you're going to come up here and receive Holy Communion. Lauren's going to lead us through that. You're going to come with your hands stretched out, and again, you are asking God to fill them. We will put a piece of bread in. You'll dip it in the cup and eat it. Then you can kneel at the rails, pray for boldness, whatever that's going to look like for you. You might get one of these little cups that are gluten-free, if that's what is best for you. Consume it and know you're consuming the grace of God. Fix your eyes on this empty cross and remember that the power comes from here. It doesn't come from here. It comes in Jesus Christ. So come with all boldness to the foot of the cross. Open your hands and open your heart and see where God directs you. Amen.